My name is Nate Mickle. You're listening to Mickles and Dimes Layer 2, where every interview is dedicated to the simple, the practical, and the underappreciated. Corey Sanford is the Vice President of Culture and Talent at Guidant Financial, where he led the transition of the entire organization to remote work. He has also helped two different companies win the number one Best Place to Work honors. Corey is both a graduate of and an instructor in Cornell University's Executive Master's in Human Resource Management program. His book, HR, You Kidding Me? Surprisingly Simple Steps to Unlock the Power of People, is a number one bestseller on Amazon. I hope you enjoy learning from Corey Sanford today, because I certainly did. Corey, it's so great to connect today through our mutual friend, Josh Foster, who was a previous guest on this show. So thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you. It's great to be here. You've interviewed some of my idols. So it's a real privilege to be on the podcast today. Thanks for having me.
Well, I couldn't appreciate your time more. And you and I have both spent a lot of time thinking about organizational behavior and human resources. So I do some consulting, but I mostly research and teach on these topics. But you're actually doing it in the day-to-day. You're in the companies, you're applying it. So as you think back on the things you've learned, what would you most want to pass on to others?
Yeah, I'd love to start with a story, if I could, a personal life story that I've applied to my personal life and professional life. If that's okay, yeah. Can I tell a quick story for the audience here? Yeah. So come with me. 6 or 7 or 8 years ago, I was with my family. We were on a special trip with the adults and our spouses and my parents. My parents took us on a trip to the Turks and Caicos Islands. We love the beach. We love to travel and we love to snorkel. And so my parents took us on this awesome trip to the Turks and Caicos, and we were on a snorkeling excursion. And the plan for the day on that snorkeling excursion was to go to a couple of different really cool snorkeling spots where we'd see lots of fish and sea life. And then we would end at a small uninhabited beach with beautiful white sand. And just off the beach, there was dozens and dozens, hundreds even, of conch shells. And the plan was to snorkel, stop at this spot. Each of us would jump out, dive down and grab a conch shell, bring that up to the boat. And our guides, while we were hanging out on the beach and resting, they would, you know, cut out the conch shell animal, and they would cut it up, and we'd have this fresh conch salad, fresh, you know, right from the ocean. And so we started our day. We went to a couple of snorkeling spots. They take us to the place where we're going to get out and dive down and find our own conch shells that we would have for lunch. And they anchor down and we start to get off the boat and disperse around. And I swam around and I found my target conch shell, this queen conch. And so I dove down, I got mine. I came up, I was excited. I showed everybody, I've got my conch shell. And I looked around and I was right next to my sister, my older sister, Melissa. And my older sister, Melissa, was snorkeling and she looked down and she says, "I've got mine." And then I watched her try to dive down. She took a deep breath. It's probably 10 or 12 feet in depth. So she took a deep breath, tried to dive down. And all I saw was her 2 feet, flippers, just flipping furiously in the air, going nowhere. And then she kind of right-sided, took a deep breath again, dove back down, and the same thing happened. Just legs furiously kicking as she's trying so hard to get to the bottom of the ocean to grab this conch shell. She comes up a third time, takes an even deeper breath, and same thing happens. She just furiously kicking in the air. She can't get to the bottom to get her conch shell. She exasperatedly rights herself, looks up. She's got big old wide eyes. She's looking at me, and she goes, "I can't get my conch shell." She's heaving, so exhausted. And even though she had all this ambition, she had a good goal. She had ambition. She had energy. She goes, "I can't get my conch shell." And I'm laughing in tears because I go, "Melissa, you're wearing a life jacket." And so she again, she had this goal. She was ambitious. She had this energy. And she had this life jacket on that was preventing her from moving on and having this new experience. And I love to tell that story because her wearing a life jacket was a good idea and it had served her well. It protected her, gave her safety and security, and protected her at the snorkel stops where she felt safe snorkeling. There came a point where that life jacket was no longer serving her well. She wanted to have a new and a different experience, and that in the end ended up holding her back from having new and exciting experiences. And I love to share that story because I think that that's true for us in a lot of ways in our personal and professional life. We're hanging on to relationships or ideas or tools or experiences that may have served us really, really well to a certain point. And yet to move on, to have new experiences or to grow, we've got to be willing to let go of some things, even some things that have served us really, really well to a certain point. And that can be really, really scary. And so I've learned a lot. We laugh about that as a family a lot now. And from that, I've learned a lot of things in my personal and professional life where I've applied that lesson of needing to let go of something to obtain something greater.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just reading a book written by Charlie Munger. So Charlie's got this book that he helped write, Poor Charlie's Almanac. And in it, he says that the biggest challenge isn't in learning new things. Like, it's easy to learn new things. The biggest challenge is letting go of old ideas that have served us well, right? And so it's the same idea. So as you think back, Corey, what examples from your life or maybe from your team members have you seen where this metaphor has served you well or has helped you take on new responsibilities, learn new things, et cetera?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I think, so as a member of the human resources profession, you know, I think a lot about how we can elevate our profession and our positive impact and how we can grow and elevate. And so there's a couple of things just in general HR space and then a couple of things that are really personal to me, and I'll share each of those. I think in the HR space, cover letters and unpaid internships may have served us well for a long time. And I think that may have been a life jacket that we've held on to and for a long time, and maybe it's delivered a lot of positive impact. I'm ready as an HR professional to let go of both of those cover letters. I no longer believe are necessary. They're now written mostly by AI. And if they're written, you know, read at all, they're read by AI. That seems like a colossal opportunity for us to let go of that and move on. Unpaid internships in the same way. I believe we're in a new era of employment, and I believe that people that are giving their time, even if it's to learn and to benefit from there, if they're adding value to an organization, they need to be paid for that. Again, I think that there's times where those maybe added value and made sense. And I think now that's a time where we can rethink cover letters and unpaid internships. Personally, one of the biggest ones, I have a few, I'll share one. The biggest one that I have learned in my career, my sort of metaphorical life jacket, was the need to have all the answers. And that served me well early in my career, I think, because that sort of pushed me to be really prepared in meetings, and it pushed me to volunteer for assignments and to not settle for, you know, for not knowing something, and to be really curious and interested and to learn and to grow. And I think that that served me well. And it took me, I think, way too long to embrace how empowering it is to say, I don't know. And I wish I would have learned that earlier, saying, I don't know. It's so empowering to be able to say, I'm not sure. Let's learn together, or let's figure this out, or that's not something I've experienced together, or what do you think about this topic? Because I'm unsure. So the idea of not needing to have all the answers and saying, I don't know, has been really, really empowering for me to let go of the needing to have all the answers into saying, I don't know.
So a couple follow-ups then. Cover letters. If I'm applying for a job that's requiring a cover letter, I guess I just use an AI and have it spit out a cover letter that's not going to be read. But you're talking if I'm on the hiring side, no yep. reason to require a cover letter anymore. Is that right?
Skip it. That's my advice. I would say, let's make it easier on the candidates. Let's make it easier on ourselves. HR professionals are in control of what we require for roles. And people will say, well, that's how I know they're serious about the role, or I like to see the extra initiative into the cover letter. And I think there are other better, faster, easier ways for us to do that. So, yeah.
And when I applied for my academic position, I sent out like over 150 applications, which sure. was 150 stupid cover letters. And I hated every single one of them. And when I submit my journal articles to different journals, you know, it's like, okay, where's my old cover letter? And let's, you know, copy and paste and swap out and add a few new things. And it does just feel like a complete waste of time.
Totally.
And then this other one about needing to have all the answers. So there, it just made me think of two things. One, when I was learning Spanish, I was living in Chile, and my companion, my roommate, was one of the best Spanish speakers as an American that I'd seen. He was incredible. And it amazed me how often he would stop a conversation and say, wait, what was that word? What do you mean? And me, because, you know, I hardly understood anything. I was so afraid to do that. And I was like, wait, I've got this backwards. Like, he's the best speaker that I've ever seen. But I think this is why, because he actually wants to understand every single word. And then he had a notebook, and then he would write it down. And so just that willingness to say like, hey, I didn't get that. I didn't understand that. It kind of surprised me. And literally yesterday, I was listening to an interview with Larry King, one of the greatest interviewers of all time. And some of his advice that hit me was like, never be afraid to look stupid. Always be willing to ask that clarifying question. Be curious and show the understand. And it's like, this is one of the greatest interviewers of all time giving maybe not counterintuitive advice, but giving advice that's hard to implement in the moment, because you don't want to look like a fool. You don't want to look like you're dumb by saying, wait, what was that? Can you repeat that? Or can you explain that? And yet that was the advice coming from one of the greatest interviewers of all time. So I really appreciate your message of it's okay to not have all the answers.
100%. And I love that. I love the advice. It's been such a relief to know that I don't have to have all the answers, that I'm still learning. And it's really interesting. I thought I was learning a lot when I wanted to have all the answers. Now my learning has absolutely accelerated once I've admitted that I don't have all the answers and I don't need to have all the answers. And now through that curiosity, through the clarifying questions, and through being vulnerable about not knowing, that has opened up dialogues. It's opened up paths to learning, and exponentially my learning and relationships have grown because of that.
You know, and it's funny too, as a professor, it's like you love it when somebody raises their hand and says, wait, I didn't quite get that. Could you explain it? And I could imagine from the student's perspective, having been a student, it's like you're always so hesitant to ask that question. But as a professor, you just absolutely love it when somebody asks that clarifying question. Well, Corey, this is awesome. I love hearing from you because you're at the leading edge of HR in practice. Like I said earlier, I do a lot of the research. I teach it. But you're out there, boots on the ground, dealing with this on a daily basis. So any final things you'd like to share before we wrap up here?
The only other thing in addition to just saying thanks so much for having me, it's a real privilege to be here. I am thrilled to be part of the human resources profession. I love it. We're doing great things, and we need to keep challenging ourselves to make a bigger impact. Just really briefly, one other area that I've really learned to sort of shift how I thought about an activity in HR, and that's around offboarding. I used to take offboarding really personally. I used to be really disappointed and discouraged when someone left the organization. And it led me to get curious and to create a good experience and to gather feedback sooner. And I used to be embarrassed by that. And a way that I've shifted now is I say, offboarding is the new onboarding. And let's celebrate them, the accomplishments that they had while they were here, wherever they're going next. And let's share that. Let's not be private about it. Let's share with the organization that people are exiting so that we can celebrate and stay in contact. And so just another example of how using the story and the analogy in the beginning to just take a look at what we're doing as leaders, as businesses, as HR professionals, and finding ways where we can just be curious about, is this, where do we want to get to? And is there anything that served us well that actually might be holding us back now?
One of the best leaders I know runs a company, or he's president of a company of about 20,000 employees. And he sincerely wants his employees to advance. And if that means they have to advance in a different company because there just isn't the opportunity in their company at the moment, he genuinely celebrates it. I admire it. I think, as you look at it objectively, it's like, it's obviously the right thing to do. Like, we obviously want the people who are working for us to continue to thrive. We don't want to, like, who wants to hold people back, even though it may be challenging the moment. So I appreciate that advice. I love these lessons, the story. I think this is just great for all listeners. So Corey, thanks so much for coming on today.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mickles and Dimes with Corey Sanford. What a great metaphor Corey shared. It's impossible to dive deep while wearing a life jacket. The things that helped us in the past can be the same things that hold us back today. In the HR world, Corey puts cover letters and unpaid internships into that category. But more broadly, Corey has found power in the words, "I don't know," "I'm not sure," "let's look together," or "what do you think?" By being okay with not having all the answers, Corey has accelerated his own learning. In summary, take off the life jacket when it holds us back. It's a simple idea. Please take it seriously. Nate Mickle here with two quick requests. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast and give it a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. Thanks for your support.